Hello, welcome back to the Breach Print Podcast. We're here with some Asses of Malifaux content for everybody. Got Brian and Scott here with me. Zach might show up at some point. But yeah, we're all very excited for the new models. It's my favorite time of the year because I love to think about all the wacky combos and how models fit into different crews and kind of fill in some of the gaps potentially. So yeah, I'll just get us started off here. I'm extremely excited for the Carnivorous Weirdwood, an actually tanky Nephilim model, just straight up. Has armor, def 6, planted roots so you can't be moving it around. I mean, it has a couple other pretty interesting things, but that's really the main thing. For 7 points, it's very tanky. Regrowth is a pretty interesting ability in that it lets you redrop markers that are removed. This can also potentially let you double up with scheme markers and score 2 schemes with one scheme marker. I'm not sure which ones that could potentially apply to in this GG, but that is exciting. Really, it's all about increasing the amount of corpses that are around, which obviously the Nephilim love very much. So really excited about him. His art is pretty wild looking as well.
And it can also
Basically
help
a giant.
keep your underbrush markers around if someone is destroying them. At least one a turn, you can help try and keep those around.
So he's pretty great, but I definitely don't want to undersell how good the Crookskins are, if I can find them.
Oh, the new Lucius models.
Yeah. Savage Mimic, 6 cost, 7 health, hard to wound and stealth, and old ways. This is a very tanky minion, which Lucius desperately needed, but is also good in Savage because it can teleport around 8 inches with its cool kind of can be a bonus, can be a regular action thing called Craven Imitations, where it has 4 different, all pretty good triggers, but primarily what it's going to be doing is creating an ice pillar every turn for you. It does not require you to use a tome, which was big in Savage because they're really, really hurting for tomes. And then the max trigger on that lets you teleport 8 inches, so give some really good mobility to 2 crews that kind of really needed that kind of model. And you can bring 2 of them. It doesn't really hit particularly hard all the time, but it does attack moves, so that can get around some nice things. So, yeah, those are the 2 models that I'm super excited for.
I like also how they're a great model for an obey-like master that's also amazing at anti-obey
Yeah.
with their unruly ability. Oh, Zoraida, you can just go chill in the corner. I'm going to put my model here, and you can't obey me off this marker or to do anything I don't want to do.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
also nice to note on its scratch, since it attacks moves, its free action can give out staggered. So if you are want to, you can stagger them first and then charge in. Gives you a better chance to hit on admittedly, like you said, not the most damaging attack, but if you're attacking someone and against a regular move 5 model, they're move 3 and you're stat 5, yeah, good chance you're going to get that attack off.
Playing a lot of guild recently, they do have crit strike on that attack as well on a 2-3-4. So surprisingly, these make great not main beaters, but if you're going toe to toe with other like scheme runners or non like dedicated beaters, the Crookskin has a decent chance, especially with the old ways, to do pretty decent in a 1-on-1.
It's very true.
Yeah, the one Neverborn model. So my Neverborn models I'm excited of were probably pre Asses and the Angel Eyes Hounds upgrade. But the one I'm really interested in, and is I'm not even going to try and pronounce the first name, but it's the Sisters model. It's the 10 cost Enforcer. She's got some interesting things on her card, but just looking at it, It seems a little underwhelming until you realize that at the beginning of its activation, it can put on itself one of two upgrades. And really, the upgrades are kind of decide on what you want to do with this model during the game. It has what I consider its ranged upgrade, which is really nice. It is the dark stone upgrade. It gives it avoid doom. So basically, you flip in Black Jokers with this and you have it on, you can disregard the Black Joker and flip another card, kind of like the upgrade that you can give Neverborn models. Giving it Bulletproof 2, which is very situational. Gives it a trigger on its Fallow Knight's Shockwave attack, which allows you to remove one ski marker that's touched by the shockwave, which is okay. I'd rather it be all the ski markers that it touches, but, you know, I'll take what I can get. And then it gives it a really nice ranged attack, ranged 8, stat 6 against willpower, a 2-4-6, which is nice. But the triggers are also really good. Armor piercing and the devastating strike. So that's a trigger we haven't seen before. Gives you a plus on the damage flip and gives you blast. So I think a very effective attack. And what's nice to know about that too, it's not a gun. So you can do it even in combat. And then what I call the close combat upgrade, the Pale Light. So you get Combat Finesse, Mobile Warrior, your Fallow Knight's Shockwave gets a trigger that you get to get rid of one non-ski marker that touches the pulse. So you have to decide which ones you want to get rid of. And then it gives it its Scratch Attack, Range 1, Stat 6, with Burst of Speed and a Mutilate upgrade. And it's a 3-4-5 damage spread. Just by kind of looking at it, it doesn't look like the greatest thing in the world. You know, you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, what am I going to do with this? But especially on the Scratch Attack is where I think this can be its moneymaker. Because when you also look at the front of its card, it has a new ability called Perfect Form. So basically anything on its card, you can make it its free action. So it took me a second or two by looking at this, but its tactical action has Moon's Protection, which is a range 6, stat 6, need a 6 to get it off. It has a surge trigger, and what it does is you target an enemy model. All your models within 1 inch of it get pushed 3 inches away, and then you push 6 inches to it, and then you get a scratch attack. So if that's you make that your free action, this is going to be a 3 AP attacking model. Granted, it doesn't have to be the scratch attack, but what I like with the Mobile Warrior, so afterwards you can charge when you get in close, and if you want to, you can put Inhuman Reflexes on this so that when you charge, you can do a point of damage. So kind of nice to be able to do, especially if, like, you knock it down to one wound, and then you can charge anytime you want. And then you have Scamper. Also, what I forgot to mention is you get Combat Finesse. So this being a 6 defense, 6 willpower, 6 move model with Combat Finesse, if it's in scratch range, you know, with the model not being able to cheat on a defense 6 and willpower 6 is really, really good. So I'm really liking this model. I think it's a lot of different things, being able to choose your free action. And sometimes you probably want to do the Fallow's Knight at your free action because you can only do it once in activation anyways. But with that Moon's Protection being free, it also has a nice stat 6 lure. You can make that your free action and lure something in and then hit it a couple times if you don't want to move towards them. So I think this model has got a lot of potential to bring in with different things you can do with it. So and you can switch between the upgrades because you remove all upgrades when you activate and put the one on there you want. So yeah, I think this model's got a lot of potential to be just a really nasty beater with the 3-4-5, 3 attacks, the range attack where you can ignore armor. You can get a plus to your damage flip and add some blast to it. So yeah, it just seems like a really good really good model that I'm getting excited about. Well,
yeah,
I wasn't too
what we're
when I
hearing
first
is it's a very good
it,
model.
I'm getting into it a lot more now that I've gotten a little bit more in depth on it.
So really good model, can do anything for 10 stones. It can be ranged or melee. And it's versatile, so it's just 10 stones straight
yep.
up. But thankfully, only an enforcer, so you can't stone damage down from this.
But true. And it's also got regen, so a little bit of chance for some self-heals. But I think I'm going to be looking for ways to get this model on some of my crews.
It's not like you have Serena Bowman, which can still just heal. But anyways, moving on from the sisters that can do everything, I just wanted to bring up the newest four-faction crew.
Yeah.
If you don't have the book yet, it's outside of the other purple guy, which can then Hinamatsu, which then can bring dolls from everywhere. The new Dr. Silas model is the henchman that's Asylum and Half-Blood. So, riding the purple train, it can bring in the new Hotness Angel Eyes, along with all those used-up orderlies and things out of Guild. It can bring in some of the other beefy Neverborn models for that are Half-Bloods that kind of got a little tune-up. And then the Nurse, because who needs the tools for the job model in a crew anyways? So, that's Rezzers, Outcast, because Dr. Silas himself is an Outcast, Guild, and Neverborn, all into one crew. And they also have a great new enforcer that goes with them. They do a lot of things. They're ignoring the Black Blood. They get some upgrades. In general, it's a lot to talk about, but take a look at Dr. Silas and Trial of Error if you ever can. I think that's going to be a great new henchman-led crew. And then I've been messing around with the fact that the new director, Rodriguez, if you haven't heard about it yet, it's the new big giant beater that's coming out for Guild, who happens to be a henchman, and another dual keyword henchman. So I've been playing around with making him my master, and then picking and choosing the best from Marshall and Witch Hunter, and seeing where that goes. Because he himself, as a 3 AP model with Hovering Flame, it's basically another Lady Justice type model. He's going to want some things, but then you can pick and choose between Witch Hunter and Marshall. So I'm definitely going to give it a go, because they both have good totems. I'm not going to lie. Lady J has a good totem, and so does Sonya. I love both their totems. But bringing in the effigy, which can then go to the wrong way around. The little guy's going to get big. And looking forward to the Director Rodriguez. Super beater, 3-4-5 damage track with a tome trigger to pulse damage and burning. If anything, listen to Danger Planet's review of the Guild models, and you'll hear exactly why I'm going to try to make this guy a master and go with it.
I hate this model.
Oh! Also, he makes living models undead, so then managing that with the Domadors or other models, it's great.
Although the speak back quickly on Silas, I have tried them out once, and it was janky, goofy nonsense. And while it may, I'm not going to comment on its viability, I do think its fun ability is there.
I mean, it does turn all of my Asylum models by ditching cards into the low-end Half-Blood, the Wretched, or what were they?
Blood Wretches.
Yeah, the Blood Wretches. So you don't have to summon them, because you're going to get them out of things. Dr. Grimwell's actually a fairly decent beater, and when you can pitch the upgrades to give suits, he can easily activate early and get that lobotomy off on somebody, so they're gonna take a min 5 damage or pitch 3 cards, at least 3 cards. So I think there's some play. I have had one game since I got the book in that, and doing a lot of proxies because I don't have all of these models since it covers 4 factions. But with Angel Eyes in there, I think it's a crew that can be be actually viable.
And it's just a really good way to give models that nobody typically brings some life. I mean, there are a lot of the Asylum models that people wouldn't even know their model if you told them the name of them. Half-Blood's got buff recently, so people know their names now, but a couple months ago they did not, so always good to see.
And kind of a clever didn't realize that a nurse was an Asylum model either, so learned something new today.
Yep. It's goofy. And Director Rodriguez makes me mad because it just looks like a model I'd want to play. Though maybe it'll get Corey to look into maybe trying his red stuff again. Give an old Witch Hunter another go.
I mean, why not play Witch Hunter through Director Rodriguez and then also be able to bring in the Lone Marshal at cost or 33 at cost?
Sure.
And as an outcast model.
Sure. Though I think Corey, one of my locals, just enjoys throwing big old firebombs with Sonya. So, I mean, I don't even think doing all that's necessary.
Yeah, because we need more reason to see the Lone Marshal on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, you got a couple models you're excited about?
Offhand, I enjoy the new Transmortis stuff. Not necessarily because I think it's like the best thing ever. I just think it's interesting. I just like the idea of like I buy this big thing and then it just like breaks down into smaller pieces as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, basically getting an for eight Soulstones, you basically, as the game goes on, get 7 models. The artwork is pretty interesting. There's this big gobs of flesh, yeah. And then the last one, you just got this eyeball staring at you.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, like, it's hard for me to really gauge whether or not, like, it replaces something. And, like, well, I mean, ultimately, at its cost, it's looking to replace one of my viscera. And I may swap one of them out for this and give that the old college try. Because, I mean, it just seems like a fun little thing. And, I mean, 246, I mean, it's a classic Transmortis spiky damage track. And I mean, I'm never going to turn down using oozing mass. It's just goofy.
Yeah, and this is nice too, is that you still have the lecture notes until you break it down to the eyeball. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see on the table. Just unless, of course, then you run across something that gets rid of your demise, and then you're just a sad panda.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. I think that is like the big thing, and I guess the real question is whether or not somebody has the foresight and thought to bring it, you know, in list building. So I think you might be relatively safe, just because I don't expect a lot of people will think that this will be a particularly popular choice. But that's not because I think it's like the worst thing ever. It's just I think that you have a lot of strong choices in Transmortis to begin with. I can't comment as much in Experimental because I don't play them. But yeah, I think I may swap one of my viscera out just to give this a try.
I mean, with the... Oh, it's not an attack action, though. I was like, in Experimental, I think it's going to see a fair amount of play just because it's a lot beefier than a lot of their models, just because it does have that demise that if you're not bringing it in to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it does give out oozing mass as a once per activation, but it's a lot of poison that you can kind of go out if you want to all your models. And then just in general, it's 8 cost, 8 wounds, and that's stunned, which Experimental doesn't have on a stick. Right. Even if you do kill the first one, then you get 2 versions of it at the same stat on the 2 models that replace it. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually see experimental taking it and give it a good shot, especially since perverse metabolism. Since it's a replace, can you split the poison that the model would have between both models, or does it all have to go onto one?
I couldn't say.
Because they have perverse metabolism, that so they would be healing from it at the end of turn. So even if you knocked it down, I mean, there are only four wounds anyways on the split. But no,
actually, I think there are only two wounds because it heals four and then splits, isn't it? How that works?
Well, the bisection are four wound models. The last bites are two wounds. So it goes from eight to four to two.
No, what I'm saying is that if on the demise it says it heals four and then is replaced with two bisected models. So wouldn't they have to split that four health between the two models?
I think they both just get four.
We're going to leave that up to the big weird people in the sky who can finally come down with the FAQ on that eventually.
Now hold on, go down to the next one. Yeah, I think it's just genuinely, I think they get their full health. Otherwise, if they don't, I think that's actually like god awful. I would retract every statement I just made if they only get two health each.
James, you got any other purple nonsense you want to bring in since you're leaving, you know, Lucius with the Crookskins I already mentioned?
Well, I think almost every purple model is valuable to purple. Because there's a lot of tech that we just didn't have. The Syzygy Sisters kind of fill in a lot of potential things. But I'm excited to bring the Leech King in out of Keyword, because he is ruthless. And that is the tech that we have most desperately needed for a long, long time. Other than Masters, we only have two ruthless models. Three, if you include Ghetto Ruthless. But the Leech King is just a really cool model. It can smack those hard-to-wound assholes right in the dick, and I love that. It can summon little annoying leech things. But, I mean, really, blood magic, being able to ignore negatives to the damage, is huge. It's a willpower attack. My only concern about him is that he could die, because he is, you know, an enforcer. He has regen 1 and 9 health, but he can definitely be killed. But he also has the ability to end conditions for people, which is good because none of us are willing to spend 2 stones on Eldritch magic. And it does a damage, so if you bring them to Nephilim, that's an action, so they will be blackblooding stuff. I think he's really good. If you do get a leech down, then his sharp claws with anti-heal trigger could potentially be stat 6. So maybe that'd be okay. I still don't think you really want to be charging in with him, but yeah, I think he's pretty great. And I will be bringing him into a couple keywords probably.
So have y'all talked about Bosh Anomaly yet?
No.
No.
Let's talk about them.
What in particular, Zach?
The power of dance is the dumbest thing ever in Rezzers. And by dumb, I mean fantastic. It's, I mean, like, when, I mean, looking, look, just looking into, like, so if I want to go with Shtuk, I mean, in terms of durability, that's additional, that's pulse healing on models that don't want to die to begin with. Secondly, in a Rezzer version of Returned, this can really kind of just like have certain aspects pop off with their overheals potentially, which is just awesome. I enjoy the Gundam reference with Endless Walls, unless there's another reference to that that I'm just unaware of. But I think you bring these guys for the power of dance. I think that's just a fantastic ability. In a in a just notoriously durable faction.
Well, and that fancy feat trigger can just kick the opponent's scheme markers right over the board.
Mm-hmm. Because why do they need those, right?
That's also pretty clutch.
No, I'm just a fan of them in general.
So that does say just two markers within range. So if someone has a plant explosives marker that's just on your side of the board,
you can't target objective markers in any way other than how it's stated in the strategy. But that is a good point, though. That's really useful for just like ruining placement of you know, marker team stuff. You know, you start shoving pyres back into people's faces in funky, inconvenient ways. You do this against, who else would it be really good against? Probably not so much Ivan. Bygone, their big old towers. You can shove those and ruin their perfect planned setups there. I mean, anybody that's using a marker, coffin markers, you can shove those into the funky spots. You know, like pull them out of range so the people can't, so that the marshals can't take advantage of them, or just, you know, shove them up in their face and make it really awkward and just kind of put them into a sad triangle sort of situation. Yeah, anything that lets you just like move markers generically, I think, is always just going to be some of the most useful tech in the game.
Yeah, and I think in GG4, every crew is a marker crew, in that scheme markers are a thing now.
Right. Yeah. Now that scheme markers are a thing, suddenly you can just ruin all their requirements for schemes. So. I think these guys are just cool and useful, and you run them up behind your valley or something and just, you know, have them pulse out healing. That thing will just never die.
You like any of the other fungal models, or just basically just the henchmen?
Mainly just the henchmen, honestly. Though I do think Old Hob's cool. I like Old Hob a lot. Just because I have a thing for 10 stone beaters, you know? I mean, he's a construct. I think Raining Corpses is just neat, just so. Because it's like an unconventional form of like additional durability with Corpse Picker, you know? Because you're basically, what, getting half the damage back or so on average if you're getting hit for 1 point of damage. Well, shit, I mean, you're basically getting it all back at that point, right? You know, armor 2, you get plinked, you get hit for 1 point of damage, you drop a corpse, and then you're like, I'm just going to pick all those up and heal it all back. So in order to actually get any damage to really stick to this guy, you need to be hitting him for more than one, basically. You need armor penetration in some form and or marker removal to remove your corpses.
So he's a better version of the Obsidian Statue?
Yes.
Which has the ability to drop scrap when he gets attacked by enemy models, and then picks all of them up to heal?
That's not a model.
And then also, too, when you, if you hit his trigger, he can turn one of those corpse markers to a scheme marker.
You could. Absolutely. In addition, I mean, he's got that construction claw, so you can just yoink people around, and that's always useful, too.
Yeah, and the model looks really cool, too.
Oh, yeah, the model is sick. I don't think you'll ever really use Hurl Corpse, just because that's his health. I think it's kind of a silly thing to throw your health away for a 2-3-4 damage flip. And Temper Tantrum coming over from Candy is an interesting thing, because, I mean, he's going to want to be up in the group anyways, and a 4-inch pulse off of a 50 mil to slow everybody is just goofy.
Yeah, 14 willpower is no joke.
I mean, he could throw the Corpse Curator.
Okay, you're right, he can. Actually, harebrained idea. Corpse Curator with a bunch of poison on him and his goo sitting there, right? you can then throw him with this guy, and wouldn't the goo come with him? Or is that off of walks? I don't have the card in front of me. But if it's any move and you throw him into somebody and he brings his goo with him, that would be one hell of a speedball special or a fastball special.
Yeah, kind of like the they've been doing over in the Bayou with guy who passes out the hats, and then Lenny or Alphonse throws.
Yeah.
Throws a, what is it?
I need to know now.
Drag behind is just before this model moves.
Oh God, that's amazing. I mean, the place counts as a move. Yep. There it is. God, that's a sick combo. That's so goofy. Oh man, I'm so excited about that concept now. Just chucking that son of a bitch forward with his goo. That's so fun.
Okay, well, I heard it here first. You're playing Zach. Expect old Hob and the corpse curator coming at you in full force.
Oh, that's so funky.
But Scott, you had some other stupid green nonsense that you wanted to talk about.
Yes, because unfortunately, my never-born bones hurt when I'm actually more excited about some Rezzer models than I am the never-born ones. But
it's because you're a dirty traitor.
No, I just like, you know, I'm that guy who, you know, has to jump to the new hotness. So, so the ones I'm most excited about is the Ghost Eater and the Ghost Light with Reva. So when I was playing some Rezzers after Labor Day weekend, I did get me some Reva 2 games in, and I really liked it. It's got a lot of moving parts, so it takes quite a bit of practice, more so than, you know, some Masters. But the Ghost Eater, the ability to summon in the Ghost Light, and then you can use the Ghost Lights for Reva protection, where she can shunt off damage to models and kill them. And since she's killing them, she's getting pyre markers. So you have the Ghost Light adding to that. And the Ghost Eater, I mean, he's not a bad model. You have someone using a Soul Stone near him gets a pluses to the duels. He can, in conjunction with the Ghost Light, they can make Soul Stones. Now, the Ghost Light's probably never going to be higher. You're just going to summon it in, which can be a little card hungry because you have to discard a card, and Reva is not known for her card draw. But with some of the stuff that's going on with her, with in conjunction with this Ghost Eater, just kind of multiplying her pyre marker generation to another level with corpse candles being eaten. I also kind of like Ezekiel with her. So Ezekiel, he's the versatile model. He is the greenest of gremlins, because not only is he a green skin, but he's in the green faction. So the greenest of gremlins. That's all I have to say about that. But he's what a Sururo 10 should have been. And he has the ability quite easily to summon mindless zombies. So again, you have that mindless zombies being used with Reva to generate more pyres, more corpse markers. I do like his fresh meat ability. It's not the best in Reva because most of her crew is not undead. Basically, only the Draugrs are undead, other than like the mindless zombies and the corpse candles, which is a 10-inch range. You target a enemy model. If they fail the willpower duel, all undead models in line of sight get to move 3 inches toward that model. So maybe in some other crews that would be better. Like Red Chapel, if you're taking keyword models, I mean, they're almost all undead. Like Mourning, Von Stuck, you know, can really, for just 6 points or 6 soulstones, he can really can get some movements in your crew. If that is an issue with an unpack or something like that, an 8-inch heal where, you know, he can, on that fresh meat, if it's against an enemy, because that doesn't have to be an enemy target for that. So you can just target one of your models upfield and move your models. But if you want the trigger, you can bring a mindless zombie into base contact with the if you do it to an enemy model, he can summon zombies next to him. He can pulse out shielded, which is good in a Reva crew. They do like their shielded. So I think Ghost Eater and the Ghost Light. And, you know, I haven't tried it. This is just some theory, but I'm really digging those three models, bringing them into a Reva crew and seeing what you can do.
So on the point of Ezekiel, I just think it's hilarious that instead of fixing Asura, they just made a new model. Because like you said, he's literally just what Asura should have been. But he feels much more Malifaux than Asura ever did anyways. Just in terms of like just tone and everything. So like, I hate Gremlins, but I'm a fan of this guy. I think he's pretty fun. And his alternative zombies are great.
Oh yeah, I put those together the other day and there's some much better than the old Mindless Zombies. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting those painted and on the table.
So another one that I'm looking forward to, continuing on my trend of 10 stone beaters, the Hand of Janus over at Explorers. This thing rocks. Like, Explorers kind of suffered from a lack of Min 3 to begin with, so this thing really fills a very particular hole for them. Brings excess funds on its own. Grit's there and it's cool. But I think you'll be probably healing yourself out of it a lot with field repairs as your bonus action. But ultimately though, like he's a min 3 beater that's got a 12 inch 2-4-4 blast attack. That's not a gun that can burst on a ram, and that's just fantastic. And so I'm looking forward to trying him out in EVS in particular, just because I have a lot of construct healing in EVS, so I think I could keep this guy up and running. I think him, he would be a pretty mean tag team with like Beam Calypso or just a machinist. Machinist would probably go about the speed necessary to be with this guy as opposed to Beam Calypso just running off. But like anybody that can run up and just like wrench him and heal him, this thing is just going to be an absolute menace. Cause it's going to sit there blasting people and Lord forbid they get close and he just starts punching them. I mean, armor piercing, shove aside, like this thing is quite literally the whole package for me in terms of like a 10 stone beater. He's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And if you can give this guy focus so he doesn't have to do it himself, at 12 inch range.
Oh yeah.
He gets that blast off on the severe, or he hits the trigger and he's blasting into models for 4 damage and it ignores concealment.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like the fact that this dude's just got moderate fours for days is just tickles me in the right ways. Anything that's got that moderate four or better is just, it's gonna just eat people alive the second you give it focus. So this thing's great. This is in my mind the most exciting thing to come into Explorers. But I'm also a simple man that likes big numbers on cards. So
well, it's not 10 points, but there are at least two models, three technically, the new Syndicate models for Explorers do one playstyle really well. We'll get to Altus afterwards, but I just wanted to start with Casey Jones, the actual Explorers model. Because it always felt it was kind of hard to do the geode marker shenanigans pretty decently when it came to actually the Syndicate side. And now you can easily drop them. For 1-6, because he has Price of Progress, you can ping yourself, so you... suits are not an issue. You can create a geode marker within 4 inches, and then there's the suit to once per turn do it again for free. So 1 AP to drop 2. If you want to drop a third one for his other AP, you can then push the marker into people. But he, outside of being able to like gridlock, which I know James is great at doing with Euripides and Ice Pillars, He gives all of your friendly models, and I gotta double check. Yeah, Seeker and Syndicate models, the ability to ignore your own geode markers while moving and drawing sight lines to other models. You have a pretty decent attack. It's a 2-4-5 that ignores incorporeal, and three decent triggers. Knock aside to push into said, you know, geode markers, delay if you can't kill something off, and puncture to help you hit that 5 damage. Whirlpool Whistle, its bonus isn't too bad, considering if I'm going in Syndicate, which I like, you can make sure you get that Gloria Ridley for those pulse heals. But just in general, and then every time he does do a trigger, he gets a push, I believe. Yeah, constant motion. When he declares a trigger, it may push 2 inches after resolving the current action. So your butterfly jumps and that, like your Carlos, things like that, that like to go away after an attack. Well, I do have a 2-inch range, and I get to push 2 inches, so most likely I'll be able to get at least 2 attacks off on those models. Because if I hit, I'm going to make sure I declare a trigger, and I'm going to try to hurt you. This combos with... I don't know why they're in Dirty Terrorist faction, but the Keens are the other new Syndicate models, and Altus Keen you're going to probably see a fair amount of. Just first off, he's got Price of Progress, like all the Syndicate does. Which one is real? When this model activates, the opposing player must discard a card. How do you like playing Anya 2, which already puts you down a card, and you just activate Altus, and you have to discard another one? He's Arcane
Just for the
Shielded.
Record, I hate it.
He's got... I know. It's just bad, feeling like you're already at 4 cards, unless you're like Zoraida or Dreamer 2 or some of the other, you know, things that just get hands of cards.
And he stole your gun.
Yeah. He stole the Neverborn gun, Twist Reality, with Price of Progress, though. So what's better than Twist Reality but being able to hit any of your triggers when you need to? Now, it is only stat 5, but not too bad.
Admittedly, the triggers aren't like the craziest thing in the world either, so at least there's that.
Slow in this
it's
GG
best.
Right now.
Fair.
Or being able to move. I play a lot of Sonya and the reposition just on her, or Sonya 2, and the reposition to just kind of move that little bit after doing something isn't bad. But the not an accident trigger. So if you're playing, sadly, with geode markers, you can target a non-ski marker, you can push that geode 4 inches, and then ping yourself for the phantom terrain trigger once per turn. Create a marker of the same type within 1 inch of the target. So if you do need to bottleneck that area, it's a very easy way of doing so. Oh, that you want to get your models down that line? No, you can't even get up close to where you need to be. I just think I see a lot of play. He's a great model. The bonus action is incognito. Until end phase, the area within 1 inch of the target is treated as concealing terrain. It's a tactical action. It doesn't have to target yourself. It could target another model to give it concealing.
I know local in our area, Cole, he's excited for this model because Dispel Magic and Arcanist, and they have little to no condition removal. So, you know, I hate that too.
Yeah, this model's going to see, I think, way too much play between just being in Arcanists and then being great for Syndicate. I expect to see some really new, interesting gameplay out of Syndicate coming forward, especially with Anya 2. I still prefer Anya 1, but Anya 2, I think, is going to be a powerhouse with this new stuff.
Okay, James, wash our mouth out of these terrorist bullshit with some Neverborn love.
Well, I mean, just very quickly, I think Etana is an extremely good model. She really helps out Titania by making Germinate a bonus action. That's absolutely massive for the fey keyword because they only get so many markers, and with stuff like, what's it called? There are a lot of actions where you just can push and remove markers, so it's really nice to be able to get them back out pretty quickly. But I'm more excited for Delirium, the Nightmare Woe guy, just because he's a really, I think Danger Planet called him an efficiently costed beater, which is accurate. He's terrifying 12 and incorporeal, so this is a really good option for a pretty quick enforcer with 6 move as kind of an alternative to Teddy, who does not ignore terrain. And he's still min 3, so it's just really good. Psychotic Influence is... There's a lot of text there, but you can kind of boil it down to say it's a willpower attack that either does 2, 4, 5 and ends a condition, or it can end 2 conditions. One of those conditions gets swapped for a different condition. With Glimpse the Void as another potential trigger. So this guy is going to be really good at disrupting the enemy and punching everything else into the dirt. And I think Touch of Madness is probably one of the best triggers in the game, honestly. Unless your opponent already doesn't have a hand.
Yeah, I like this guy. He's kind of an Insidious Madness on steroids.
Exactly. And that's what he looks like, too.
I like with the Glimpse of Void trigger, if on his free action you can get off his trigger, got your nose, you can make that willpower duel. Is going to be on a negative, so in most instances, you're going to be just burying that model. So, yeah, so I agree. Everything on this card is nice. I'm trying to decide if I want to take out an Insidious Madness in my list or just run 3 Insidious Madnesses and this guy in my Dreamer stuff. But, yeah, I definitely like him. Also, I thought about, since he's a Misery stunned, an opportunist adversary, possibly Wicked Doll shooting out adversary from 8 inches away to ping this guy's Misery. Not a bad idea. I mean, Wicked Dolls are pretty good on their own, and then having a model that can ping the adversary that you can give to enemy models seems pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I'm given the chance to talk about them, I think the Thralls are a really interesting model. Not that Dreamer needs more 5-cost tar pit summons, but this is also a really good tar pit summon. Misdirection, if you summon it next to a couple enemy models, is pretty miserable for them. Doesn't do as much damage as an Alp does, but if you have a red Joker, you can summon one of these and an Alp. So... that's always a beautiful thing when that happens. And stun on a bonus action is pretty clutch.
I mean, geez, Glimpse of Insanity on this thing. That's great for a 5-stone model. 6 health, let's go.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd hire them, but they're a great summon in either version of the crew.
Yeah, especially Pandora 2 can summon these guys. I'm thinking... you know, most people, when they play Pandora, they like to throw candy up in the middle of someone's crew. You know, I don't know why. I mean, it seems okay. And then...
she's terrible at that.
And then you summon one of these next to Candy and get up his aura. So now you can, if they attack Candy, then you can, assuming you hit the trigger, you can misdirect not onto the enemy, but onto this model. So he just basically becomes a big old 6 health... meat sack for Candy, because, you know, she wasn't hard to kill already.
I am honestly afraid to see these out of keyword, because especially after talking up Syndicate so much, and I still play a lot of Guild. The fact that it does have Glimpse of Insanity on something that's able to be hired in, it is a bonus, but it's also Threaten, which is choose a keyword. And it's got a Daze trigger on a 4+ stat. It's still against Willpower. I mean, on a plus stat, it's going to bring that up a little bit. You don't have the cards. And next thing you know, stunned. Just for the fact that it can throw out stunned semi-effectively, I think you're going to end up seeing it as a big tech pick against Guild in particular, which needs a lot of suits to do it stuff and other certain keywords that just love their triggers.
Sure, I could see that. Anything that throws a spike into guild's plans, I'm all for that.
Well, I mean, it's not like the guild's got some great stuff outside of my boy that I already talked about, which I'm going to run as a master. But a quick shout out to Weird for the love at first sight between Aval Ortega and Domingo Montoya. Much props to them for that. Just wanted to say that. I don't know how I'm going to fit the models in to the keywords, but I love the fact that they're married. But I am really excited. I've actually put these models together now. You've probably seen them, but the Nightcrawler Network, especially in this GG, he's an auto-include right now for the Nightcrawler Network in either list. Because it just makes my Bashal Sonya Thrace keyword to be so much more interacty, and just so much a pain in the butt on the interaction side. The cameras themselves don't do a lot, but they're great to be able to just summon as a speed bump that can slow down your opponent's ability to interact with the strats. I mean, if the Nightcrawler Network's still alive, they have extended reach and stealth, and they can't move, but once they're in place, it doesn't matter. You can... I know Danger Planet said would probably never summon it, but I'll tell you, depending on the boards, I definitely have been trying these out since I've had the book, and bringing one in and like corner deployment can just wreak havoc long-term on your opponent, being able to then have you summon from that other camera bot that's already way out there to kind of mess with things. So in general, they got a lot of great that walk the line. They can, if you have nothing else and you don't need to summon, you can remove your own dispatcher and guard to just draw a card. Yeah, a lot of good things, I think, in the guild overall. Nothing outside of the one that's super amazing. Well, actually, no. I'm going to say Nightcrawler and my boy the director are probably two of the best models that came out of this batch. So, I'm happy with both of them. And I haven't even talked about the 10 Thunders models, but I guess I'll switch over to that right now since... I'll get back to the Alloway Echo. It's a min 3 beater for Wastrel, but the story of Suzaku, the story Oni model. Oh, I'm going to try to make Asami too good. This GG, I think she can do it. And then story kind of helps mitigate all that extra flicker and provides the durability that Oni misses, because a lot of their models can be very squishy because they don't have a lot of defense tech outside of, you know, flicker being able to try to get in there and maybe some shielded even with Asami too. But being flame board and flaming body and then building up burning on this bird at 8 wounds, it's a very mobile option that can keep alive. Wind up birds allows you to discard flicker from your model so that give itself burning, which it uses as armor. It's got up we go, which is great for raid the vaults or just misplacement in general. And then conflagration, it's a 2-3-5, so it has a nice little spiky damage on its gun. And for the heck of it, has heated words, which is enemy models treat friendly scheme markers within 6 of it as burning one terrain. I mean, why not? Just an issue to have it out there. So I'm really excited about that model in particular. The other Thunders models, I think there's some good stuff, but in general, that is the biggest one I'm excited to play. The new summoning model, Ban Ying, is cool in effect. I really have to get it on the table, though, to see how it's going to go. I think I'm more excited to try to play it out of keyword with McCabe so that It can summon one of its Sunless Selves, and shout out to a local Thunders player in Monroe for thinking about this. But it can create the Sunless Self, and the McCabe can give it like an upgrade, like the Life Leech upgrade, and it can just sit there, and you can't do anything about that Life Leech because you can't kill the Sunless Self. They don't have hit points. It's just going to be there until it activates, Life Leeching things away in an area. And then when it does activate, you just pass it off with its bonus action. It becomes fast and passes it away. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do with it. I'm not super sold, but the models are going to be amazing once I can maybe paint them decently. I think they look cool.
Yeah, so the last two models I'm kind of excited about is in the Cry ones. Cry is actually my favorite Rezzer Master. So the first one I'm excited about, the Ferryman. So it's a little bit different than usual Cry models where they're incorporeal, where this model is armor one. It's got a nice move six. Terrifying, granted, and not a great terrifying. It's only 10, but you're making them flip a card, so they can fail it. And then the dreaded Vengeance 2 on this model. So not only is it reducing its damage, but you're taking 2 if you attack it.
Come at me, bro. So come at me, bro.
Exactly. A 2-inch reach on this guy with its scratch. 2-4-5, which is always a nice damage track, especially since it has the flay trigger. So even on negatives, you can cheat. What I like about this, and this is, I think, is makes it a very good Tormented model. I'm not a big Daw player, so, you know, I could be wrong on this. It's the only model out of Tormented models other than Daw who can put out 2 upgrades during its activation. So it's got an 8-inch ranged attack that ignores concealing. The enemy gets to choose whether they want to get distracted too, which is hurts a lot, or you get to move the model 4 inches. And then it has a built-in trigger where you can either give it an upgrade, and it's the black spot upgrade, which is a new one, or the ferryman can have a 3-inch aura of concealing around him. Now, the black spot upgrade is a little different than other ones. So when the model has it on there, at the end of that model's activation, one enemy model can move 4 inches toward it. So remember, now that is on your model. So the Jackdaw or Karai player gets to move their model towards you. It has a weird way, because in other upgrades, usually you're taking damage or discarding cards to get rid of it. This one is a little bit different, that when you activate the model with this upgrade, you can give this model, you can give another one of your models this upgrade that are within a 3-inch aura, and they gain staggered. So if you have maybe a model that you really don't care about, you can, this makes it a little bit easier to get rid of this upgrade as opposed to taking damage or discarding cards, but that's a different, unique thing. And just like most Urami models, its free action is the Mark of Vengeance, where you can't heal, and the trigger to give out Adversary. So, again, some possible demise canceling stuff, which is a kind of a Karai theme, with that Mark of Vengeance canceling out healing, which is good in other things, but really is kind of a cheap man's demise as well. It's got the Torment thing. So, again, that's the Jackdaw thing where if they damage a model that has an upgrade, you get to draw a card. I also like the, the henchman, also, I'm not gonna, even going to try and butcher that name. So we'll just go, call it K. Typical Urami model has incorporeal, Vengeance 1, it's got a nice 3-inch aura where you, any enemy models can't heal. So again, leaning into that can't heal stuff, ignores concealing, Tormented. It's got a nice attack, 1-inch scratch, only does 2, 3, 4, But if you're targeting an enemy tormented model, you get a built-in mask, which is nice, which is in this case on this attack is you're coming with me. Both models have way down, so again, leaning into that Jackdaw on their scratches where they can do plus to damage against models with upgrades. It's got a tactical action where you can heal a model too. And then that model gets a concealing aura, so which healing models that are in corporal or in the ferryman's case armor, healing it just a straight two is really nice. 6-inch range. It's got a free action that allows you to do make the model take a general action. And if you target the ferryman, you get the crow built in. So you only need a 5 to do this. And that's only friendly models, Tormented or Urami. And then the bonus if you do it to the ferryman to get the suit built in. And then, which might be the best action on this guy's card, it's an 8-inch range. It's called Charon's Toll. The target must discard a card, and based on the value of the card, is how much damage they take. So 3 damage for a min, 2 damage for a moderate, no damage for a severe. Then again, you're losing a severe, and then with a built-in trigger to gain adversary. So I do like these models. It allows you to kind of lean more into models you may not want to summon with Karai, especially in Karai 1, where you can summon the bigger models. But I'm thinking I'm really going to like both these models in my Karai crew. I just got to give them a try, so... and they seem pretty good in Jackdaw. Like I said, I don't know Jackdaw too well, but especially with the ferryman being able to give out 2 upgrades during its activation, seems like something only that Jackdaw player would like.
You can only do 1 upgrade because you can only ever have 1 in play.
Oh, is it?
It's not plentiful. Yeah, there's no plentiful on it, so you can only have 1.
Well, that sucks. It's trash. Trash model. Throw it away.
No. Karen's Toll is really good, in particular with Daw and just all the discards that crew can put out on people. That one, like, it just is. I mean, they're required to discard a card if that thing hits. So, like, shooting that off on somebody, it's a 6 against willpower, so it's likely to happen. Or they're going to be forced to cheat. In some of those cases, like, either they just eat it or they're going to cheat it away. Either way, they're probably losing a severe. Honestly. So I just think in terms of just like raw value, that attack specifically is like cracked. I think.
Especially, yeah, like you said with Daw, where they got a lot of execute. So, you know, getting them to discard 1 or 2 cards seems pretty good.
Well, I mean, like, Daw is really good at, like, emptying your hand to begin with. I mean, there's a bunch of, like, force discard between him and the Hanged anyways. At least Daw 1. you have the Hanged available always. So, like, forcing discards and then, yeah, just either through executes or whatever. Like, I think, in general, that ability, that attack is one of the craziest things I've seen on some of these cards. Just the unequivocal, just like there's no requirements. It's like if this hits, they have to discard a card. It's terrible value for the opponent to get hit by this thing.
I just wanted to go back to something I said a while back, and because I was reeling, I was looking through the book, looking at the stuff, and I realized I kind of challenge anyone else out there because I know I'm kind of weird, but there are actually 4 new dual keyword henchmen that are coming out, and just to make up some interesting lists that can combine those 2 keywords, because you have Forgotten in Red Chapel with the Strange Lady, you have Athana, like, which is actually Fae Nephilim, you have the Director, which I already talked about, and you have Academic in MSU with Aran Rajput being able to do some of those. Now that's, I just noticed that because that's kind of a callback to old school when you actually had the Oxfordian mages and stuff in a different crew than they are now. But just throwing it out there to see what some people can do, I think that'll be interesting to see if someone can make some of those dual keywords work, maybe making these henchmen-led crews.
Yeah,
so, Strange Lady. Go ahead.
Strange Lady. So listeners may recall that I'm a big fan of a Forgotten, right?
Really?
So I'm always maybe a smidgen, right? Molly's my girl. So this model is neat. But it's less like my thoughts and opinions on it are less so derived like just from like the specific abilities on it, and more so with like the design concepts behind it. Because like I've gone on numerous rants about the design philosophies of Forgotten and the issues that I have with Forgotten as a whole, right? With specifically with like fading and just the inadvertent hand pressure that the keyword puts on itself that only Molly can fix, and just all those issues, right? We've covered that shit ad nauseum. So something that I really liked about some of the older models that I thought needed more representation, and I'm glad to see it here, is effects that proc based on hand size and the like, right? So looking at this model, she has a fading ability in mind read, which is, I mean, it's cute. You know, it's not like the craziest thing ever. It's neat. But like her kiss of death, so she builds in masks when you have three or fewer cards in your hand. That's cool, right? Because like the whole thing that makes playing Forgotten fun to me is it's riding that fine line of like getting the most out of your hand, you know, like ripping down a bunch of your hand and then trying to like replenish it with draws from Molly. And this puts you in a place where like this model, like in any other crew, you'd be like, okay, she's a late turn model. You play her late because, you know, she's going to get more work out of your smaller hand. With Molly though, like you have a lot more flexibility there, and I think it's much more nuanced than it looks at first in terms of like how to best utilize her and that ability, right? So like the mask is what like turns a lot of her card on. Like she has three actions and two of which require the mask to function. Of course she is a henchman, so she can stone for it if need be. So like that is a thing. So you can always get your healing dark. But obviously it's going to be best when you're at three cards, so you can heal somebody for three, right? But like building an onslaught is sick on the Gorgon's Kiss, because you can stack up some poison and hit for some decent damage. And then of course, you know, there's the Obey, which, I mean, we don't need to talk about Obeys. Everybody knows they're good. But one interesting just little note on the card, and unless I'm blind, there's nothing on here for her to discard a card, right? So I don't know if she's the first, but she's one of few Forgotten models that doesn't have a way to trigger their own fading ability.
Terrifying Gaze ability can discard card.
Okay. Well, that is incredibly like niche, so it's not something you're going to be doing during your own activation, right? I mean, unless you're going to like cancel out somebody's, your own Obey, which that'd be a silly thing to do. So like, I guess to revise the point I was making, she does not have a discard ability that is required for her like functionality, right? It's not something that feels like you should be doing that during your activations. And so I view this model, as an interesting point in terms of just like game design for Molly and the keyword in general, that like I know we just got the Big Hat rework and everything, and if we start seeing more reworks, I'm really hoping that if Forgotten gets looked at, they consider more of these hand size based abilities where you get bonuses or effects based on your hand size compared to its maximum or to your opponent's hand size. Like those I feel like are the most interesting parts about it, where you can have your draw and kind of manipulate those abilities. And so I just wanted to point out that like I think this model in particular gives me some hope for just the design philosophy behind Forgotten going forward. End of soapbox.
No, Nori, I know you mentioned like, touching keywords like they did at Big Hat. So I was talking to another player, one of my buddies from the local area on our ride back from playing. And I was thinking that this nerf slash buff cycle, we might be able to see more buffs because I think there's not a whole lot of models that really need nerfs. I mean, there are still a few out there, but I think that this cycle we might be able to see more buffs, just for the fact that we don't have like any real big boogeymen out there that are hard touching the meta. So I think it might be this cycle might be a really good way for them to touch some stuff that they haven't had a chance to in the past because they've been busy with a lot of nerfs.
I
Oh
mean, two
yeah,
or two can get knocked down on a peg.
but no, I agree. I think buffs just like are great for community morale in general. And it did really feel like for the longest time we've just been getting hit with nothing but nerfs every year almost unilaterally. And yeah, that can just take a toll on people after a while. I know I used to joke about how like they've nerfed Shtuk like four times or whatever, and like almost every model in my keyword got touched. And I mean, I understand he was good and everything, and a lot of that needed to happen, but like, man, some people just really have been taking it on the chin. So I would love to see more of those neglected keywords really just kind of get that rework treatment, get a little love so they can actually see table time, and be appreciated and not feel like a big old gap in your faction's roster.
So, do you have any thoughts on the other Forgotten model, the Keep Side Strangers?
I'm not a huge fan of it, honestly. Like it's neat. It feels like an expensive Krulligan with the sidekick and everything, and like it's got some pretty cool little interactions with the Strange Lady. And I reckon, when I give these a try, I will play them together and try and, do a little bit of a tag team with them to see how some of those interactions play out. And Handful of Snakes is just a funny action.
And it's another non-minion Forgotten to jump to with Krulligans later on.
Yeah, and that is true. Though admittedly, like a big selling point of Molly is that she can bring a bunch of big expensive beaters and then, actually feed their actions. So at 7 points as an enforcer, I do think the strangers are in a weird place cost wise. Just in terms of just like how or where I would fit them into my lists. But that is just my design, my list creating tendencies speaking there. So I'm sure somebody else or a cackle probably will figure out something just goofy with them, and then I'll be, eating crow. But I'm not like super sold on them. Maybe in Red Chapel there's something that they got going on for them that I'm not dialing in on. But
I think interestingly, the poison sub theme with these models,
yeah.
where you have the totem in Molly's crew has where if you have poison you can't, was it, you can't heal or use soul stones, and then in Red Chapel you have quite a few people like to bring the emissary and he has aura he can put up which does the same thing. So I think that could make some interesting interesting. I don't know how good it would be, but you could definitely lean into that some if you have something that you know, you need to kill, can give out some poison, get either the totem or the emissary in there, and can really bash on it.
I've killed Nakima because of that ability, honestly. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. And I mean, between her, her being the strange lady, the Keepside Strangers, and the rogue necromancy, you really got some pretty potent poison plinkers, I suppose. I don't know how focused that would be for like a game plan, you know? I think it's more of just like a situational thing. But I mean, I could be wrong. Somewhat, honestly, the way these guys interact with poison honestly had me more surprised that they weren't mixing over with experimental. Because they, at least from that design aspect of the fact that they all have poison and everything, makes them feel more like the rogue necromancy in terms of like a crossover model. But I understand lore-wise, you know, crossing over with Red Chapel just makes sense.
Just to throw it back to the expensive cruel again remark, this does also give then Red Chapel, who has a hopping around master like Lucius,
mm-hmm.
and a model that can hop up to a secret passage master.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I'm glad it's sidekick and not by your side.
Yeah, there's only a couple things that do need to get nerfed, and by your side just does need to get gone.
Yeah, I'm willing to trade by your side for sidekick on the Cruelligans if it means I can buff the rest of the keyword. I'm willing to make that deal weird.
But they did. They gave, you always say how Forgotten doesn't have any models that are henchmen and enforcers that have higher than a defense 4. You got the strange lady, she's defense 6. Look at that. You got your wish.
Yep, I finally got the thing. That was probably one of the goofiest and just like most depressing statistics I was able to throw out in terms of keywords. And I'm glad to see a number larger than 4. Hallelujah, because that is incredibly rare and forgotten.
Anyone else have any models they're excited about?
Honestly, there are, but honestly, we could probably talk about every single model because there's a bunch that I haven't mentioned that are cool and exciting, but they are new. But I was just going to say, because I'm willing to be like, yeah, in general, just give these things a shot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great tier lists out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for every Neverborn model. And they definitely give us some actual tech to bring instead of just being the answer faction. So I'm definitely very excited about that. And I mean, we have been talking for a while, so I think we can probably call it a night. Definitely very excited for Ashes of Malifaux. I think everyone is. Thanks for listening, everybody.